Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and
Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Oh, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocky Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Let's get to it. Top of the 8 o'clock hour. Here we go. The three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose, number one.
Tua is set to have hip surgery today.
Yes, he is, I believe, in Houston, right? I mean, Tua Tagovailoa having that surgery following the injury he suffered against Mississippi State, 35-7 lead. We know it run the two-minute drill, saving, keeping him in the game. And he suffers what is... a hip dislocation, a fracture of the posterior wall of the hip as well. People are bringing up names of Bo Jackson, Dennis Pitta, similar injuries. And those guys' careers were never the same. You hope that his NFL career is not ending in college, that he is able to play quarterback once again. It's going to be a long road back for Tua. Certainly his, his Alabama playing days are done. And his season is obviously over. A really devastating news for a young athlete that everyone enjoys playing, that plays the game the right way, a remarkable young talent in his early 20s for a young man. Taz, you really feel for him and his family right now.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, we talked a lot about it earlier. I mean, a 21-year-old young man just has this horrible injury. He's had a lot of injuries. He's been banged up. You hate to say injury prone, but you got to be honest. It seems like the young man is. But as far as his hip injury, it was kind of freaky what happened, and to see him get carted off and to see him in so emotionally like upset and in tons of pain, his brain was working so quick, he knew, when you're an athlete, you get hurt, something's not right, and then you find out it's a dislocated hip and a posterior wall fracture. It's just sad. It's just horrible. I mean, and we talked a lot about Bo Jackson and about, that it was a career injury for Bo Jackson when he was running the ball for the Raiders at that time. And, I think we both agree it's a little bit of a different situation, different time, so many years later. Medicine's come so far and surgery's so much different. And the athletes are different. He's also a lot younger than Bo Jackson was. So I don't think it's a fair comparison, the whole Bo Jackson stuff.
I agree with you. I don't think it is. I think every athlete's also a little bit different. I brought up Pitta. You mentioned the age of Pitta is 29, and right. You look at Tua is only, 21 years of age. So every situation's a little bit different. The other, kind of layer to it is not only the fact that two of the secondary and third layer would be, dealing with Saban. And why was he in the game at that stage? A quarterback that's off injured, that's playing hurt. Still recovering from that high ankle sprain. We saw him limping off the field a week ago against LSU. You're leading a game 35-7. You don't exactly need to at that stage. I understand run the two-minute offense and the athlete comes to you and wants to stay in the game. Sometimes you got to protect the athlete from himself, too, or herself. And you got to see the bigger picture. Now, injuries happen all the time. No one's expecting this kind of an injury to take place. But when you have a guy going out, gutting his way through, Taz, that is not 100% healthy, and you're leading the game 35-7, do you necessarily need to keep Tua in there to run a two-minute offense against a team that you're daylight better than?
Yeah, no, I know. It's a tough thing. At 35-7, it's tough. I'm not going to get on Nick Saban for that, me personally. I mean, it was still early enough in the game. Mississippi State was never in the game. They just weren't, and it was a couple minutes left, basically till halftime. I don't know, man. It's a tough thing. I don't think Saban's kicking himself in the rear end for that. I think, and I talked earlier, and we both talked about padding stats. I'm not saying Saban was trying to do that, because you brought up the point about last year how he didn't do that, when he was dipping in and out with Jalen Hurts, when Hurts was on the team then, So, it's a tough thing, man. At the end of the day, it's about a young guy who's whose career could be affected immensely. His style play can be affected immensely. You know, everybody's having a lot of fun with the stuff with, what's his name, with the hips.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, drew a blank. Quarterback for the Cowboys, drew a blank.
Right, firing his hips.
Yeah, firing
his hips.
Yeah, which everybody thinks is funny and great. I'm not surprised. I've seen guys do that in different sports, you know, to get your hips going. But a quarterback doing that is very important because your hips are so important. The power you get, just like a baseball player when he swings a bat, or a golf athlete who's swinging his golf club, your hips are so vital. Same thing in throwing a football. So here's Tua now with this hip deal. I mean, just who knows how long this thing's going to take to heal.
Yeah, we went over with Pitta. He got hurt on January of 2014. He didn't make his return to the NFL till 2016. So, I mean, hopefully it's not that long.
Yeah.
Everybody's bodies heal a little bit differently, Taz, but it's going to be wild until you see Tua back on the football
field. Yeah, no, I know. Right.
And with the Prescott stuff, now it's gotten annoying. Now it's gotten to it. I get people having fun with it, and you can have fun with it on social media. Now to see everybody just mocking him before games, and quarterbacks now doing it that never did it before. I mean, now it's getting to a point here where I got it. All right,
yeah, but Zeke Elliott doing it was funny.
Yeah, well, that's
when
one
he scored
thing,
a touchdown. That was funny. You didn't laugh at that?
But no, I did laugh at. Talking about seeing Matt Ryan doing it. I'm talking about seeing Nick Bosa doing it.
Oh, but some of these guys might have done it before. No,
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, there's a drill called karaoke's, right? If you Google it, not like the singing. There's a drill football players have done for years where it's a similar type thing. You're running sideways with your arms out, and you swivel your hips the same way.
Yeah, that was not what Matt Ryan was doing.
No, he was doing the hip popping thing. Yeah.
I don't know. It's gotten to a point now where I think I'm over it.
They're doing it on pregame shows, too, now. They're doing it on pregame shows.
Yeah, your favorite. Yeah, Fox. Jimmy Johnson was doing it
yesterday. He looked like an idiot.
Nearly fell down.
He looked like a complete fool.
Yes, here is Saban. Cut two, was it, Pasekula? So
there's an idiot right there.
Yeah, anyway. Here is Saban on the two injury.
You know, we hate it that he got injured. We hate it for him. We hate it for his family. I hate it if any player on our team gets injured. Godspeed to him and
nice.
His entire family, and our thoughts and prayers are with him, and hope this is not so serious that it has any long-term effect on his, future as a player.
Well, what they got to do.
Who says Godspeed?
I mean, that's, well.
I mean, you know, Godspeed John Glenn.
But there are certain things that, like, you're right, Godspeed. No, most people don't say Godspeed.
Says Godspeed.
But he's Nick Saban. Before you got on him because he's not nice enough. Now he's saying something nice. Now
I didn't even think there was that much emotion, too. He's like, I hate to see anyone. I mean, come on.
What do you want the guy to say?
Godspeed.
That's like, I got to tell you the truth. All kidding aside, like when people say thoughts and prayers, that's frowned upon now.
No, I thoughts and prayers is?
Yeah, that's frowned upon. That's not, no.
Why
no,
is
no.
that frowned upon?
Google it. You'll see.
I'm
telling you the truth. When people say it comes off as trite.
Well, I don't think it does. But that's
I'm just
not,
telling you what the internet says.
Listen, it's more a case of, you want to look at the verbiage they used. I don't think it was really, and I understand we had a caller and you disagreed and you agreed with the caller that called up earlier. I expect to see a little bit more from Saban. And I saw his halftime interview in the well. I expected to see more. You're talking about a devastating injury. And I know we went on the field with the player. I need a little bit more from the head coach, but he is going to be who he's going to be, right?
I know, but what more do you want him to say? He did at halftime. The caller, Anthony from Mobile, Alabama, was correct. I remember seeing the tail end of that interview, and he did say.
Why weep about the journey and the leadership of Jalen Hurts, where maybe you could have conceivably watched Tua's playing career come to an end on that very field? And no, I didn't draw any kind of emotion.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean that's really putting a lot of thought. You're expecting him in that moment. Hold on. You're expecting him in that moment, Moose. In that moment.
Yeah.
You're expecting him, Saban, to break that down mentally. That
I am.
Okay. He doesn't know how bad that injury is.
Oh, I think he has an idea.
I think he has an idea.
When the guy's screaming in pain, when he knows it's a hip dislocation. Because they had to pop it back in.
Right, they had to pop a hip. But
so
sometimes
they know it's a hip dislocation. So they do. I mean, he knows that at that stage. I'll tell you this, Taz. Not a lot to think about in that game.
No, that's true.
It's not like that's that true. Game was a 10-7 nail biter.
I agree.
And he has, you know, it's the game's 35-7. The game is over.
I know.
You know, what second and third teamers are we going to get in? What freshmen do we want to give a little bit of burn?
Of course.
I mean, what guys, you know what I'm saying?
No, and they should do that. But you're right.
But
no,
you know
no,
what I'm saying?
He's not stressed over the game. No, I know what you're saying.
This is not LSU the week previous, where if you were to make that discussion, I'd say, you know what? He's got a lot on his mind at that stage.
You're not playing Kirby Smart's Georgia team.
Right. That's 35-7 at that stage. I would think he'd have 45 seconds to a minute to a couple minutes to think about what just transpired. No?
I get that, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's a little different than when he has a little time to ponder that a guy's leaving the program like Jalen Hurts. And that he's had the guy and he's leaving, so you get
I was...
Said, that's what you said.
No, I did. No, I was referencing to remember when Hurts stepped in.
Oh.
When Tua went out.
Hurts led them back to the comeback victory. I got confused.
After that, remember, after the game, they went to Saban and he was basically weeping.
He was upset. Yes. I do remember that.
Remember all that?
Yeah, I miss it.
Which I gave him credit for because, you know what? He showed emotion that I didn't think Nick Saban necessarily had that I've ever seen before.
Well, he's got he's the Belichick. Him and Belichick are the same guy. They're friends. They're the whole thing. That's their gimmick. But I mean,
weird, though. Can you be like that? I can't be like that. I couldn't be like that.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve to the point that sometimes I get in trouble.
No, I understand. But I'm talking about there's different set of emotions. Anger and rage is one thing. I'm talking about, like, you know, being in touch with your emotions in terms of something that upsets you and bothers you. Being brought to tears. I think that's natural.
I'll cry at the drop of a hat.
I think that's natural.
I love crying.
I think people that don't do that, that don't emote like that, I think it's weird. Like, I think it's weird if you're able
to... Is emote the right word? Is that true?
Yeah.
You use that right?
Emote, yeah.
I never heard that.
Emotions, yeah.
No, I'm right. Big into vocabulary, but I didn't ever heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Emote.
Yes.
You just take the word emotions and shorten it up.
No, not exactly.
He emoted that really heavily.
No, I wouldn't say it put it that way, but yes.
How did I use it? I used it wrong? That's a yes.
Yes, a little bit. All right, here we go. Next. Right.
Number two.
Colin Kaepernick workout. No offers from NFL teams.
Well, not yet, Zach.
Well, not yet. Not yet, right. He said he's willing to be interviewed. I mean... Yeah, it was a completely messed up scenario situation. He didn't want to do it. There was going to be no cameras, no media allowed at the Falcons practice facility. I don't know when the timing was that he wanted cameras. He wanted the media there. He wanted transparency. He did not show up at 3 o'clock or canceled on the NFL. Then he went to a local high school about an hour away outside of Atlanta at 4 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. Had the workout. 25 teams were supposed to be there at 3. 8 showed up at 4. It was live streamed to the nation if you happen to hop online and watch it. So you could see Colin Kaepernick go through the workout and throw it to former NFL wide receivers Taz. Then he had the message afterward, and here he is, Colin Kaepernick afterward. After his 45-minute workout, showing off that arm strength, here he is, his message to the NFL.
Let me start by saying I appreciate y'all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today.
Who's attacked?
We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth.
The media members.
That's what we want in everything. I've been denied for three years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people.
Stop running.
We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are.
Loves everybody.
We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams.
Yeah.
We'll let you know if we hear from them.
Oh, my God.
Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right. Well, like I said earlier, it's a lot to unpack there. Like I said earlier, it's a deal where this is a guy who he wanted this opportunity. They give him the opportunity. He shows up, doesn't want to be in the Atlanta Falcons practice facility. freaks out about the way, what's going on with the media, who's there, who's not there, how is it videoed. He wants to video it. He ups and takes his team or whoever and his receivers and all this other stuff, and they go to this high school 60 miles away or 60 minutes away.
Yeah.
Outside of somewhere in Atlanta, suburbs or whatever the heck it was. And like I said earlier, and I'll say it again, you need a permit to do that. So he knew this. So him and his team knew that they were going to move from that Atlanta Falcon practice facility because he had to probably put in for a permit to use that high school field. Yeah, you and I could go, if we're going to throw a football around, Moose, yeah, we can go to the local high school somewhere here in Manhattan and throw the ball around. We can do that. But if you're going to bring a camera crew and you're an NFL, former NFL player, and do this dog and pony show, you got to have a permit. You can't just show up there and do that. There's liability, there's insurance. I know this because when my son was younger and I was a football coach, I was a baseball coach, and the other coaches, we would get permits. You need permits. You can't just go and run a practice on some baseball diamond because it's an empty diamond. You can, but you run the risk of the town or the school saying you have to leave. So you're bringing cameras, you got Colin Kaepernick, get all this stuff. He had to have a permit set at this high school, so he knew he was going to do this publicity stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That's what it turned out to be. Blown opportunity for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see if an NFL team does bite and bring him in.
You'd be more impressed. Even earlier, you weren't impressed. I broke it down for you. Permit conspiracy theory.
I am impressed.
I thought you'd be like, wow.
I said that's a great
point. It's a great idea. That's a great point.
I did say that.
You're underselling me a little.
I thought you would be like,
Taz, that's insane. How'd you think of that? Earlier, you were like,
I was not like that.
People are probably thinking, Taz told Moose before the show because Moose really just was
no,
like,
no, it's not.
I thought you would have been more like,
I wasn't.
Taz, that's unbelievable.
Wait a second. Okay.
During the break, maybe you'd be talking to Mike. Man, can you believe Taz thought that? Taz makes a great point. Nothing. None of that happened.
No. The conversation with Bisseglia did not happen. No. But I said it was a good point.
That's funny. All right. Whatever.
I said it was a great
point. All right.
Point.
No problem. Maybe I'm more hypersensitive.
Always next break.
It's always next.
Yeah, right. That's my funny. God.
All right. So I got a little sensitive. All right. My bad.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with Kaepernick here moving forward. And if he does land with an NFL team. All right, next.
Number 3.
Texans DeAndre Hopkins says we need someone new deciding PI calls.
It was a bad one yesterday. I really didn't decide the game. They've been kind of a huge storyline. Not kind of. It's been a huge storyline throughout the National Football League season in terms of what is pass interference, what's not. The challenge system, the referees being bothered by the challenge system by NFL head coaches, not overturning what's been called on the field. And yesterday was another one where clearly it was interference on Hopkins, wasn't called on the field. It was the call on the field was upheld, amazingly enough. And Deshaun Watson is upset after the game, and he's not wrong. I just don't know how much change is going to come their way.
Yeah, I know. I don't know the number off the top. I think it was like something like, help me out here, like 33 challenges have been put down and only like 2%, like one or two.
It's very low. I don't know the official number, but it's very low.
Like they don't want to side with the – if a coach throws the red flag on a PI, you know, New York, Al Riveron Jones, that's not his real name, but you get it. They don't want to turn it over, I guess, you know, for the NFL coaches. 2%.
I guess they don't want to embarrass the officials on the field.
Yeah.
It has to be blatant and overturned. And I don't know. I think some of the stuff we've seen here, it's just a bad look for the National Football
League. Enough of this guy. I can stop. Right. Anyway, no, you're right. You're right.
Enough. Watson yesterday complaining. That didn't decide the game for the Texans. However, he joins the litany of NFL players complaining about the officiating over the course of the season. 855-212-4227. Your number to call, there you have it. Your three big storylines here on this Monday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On this Monday morning, yes, Taz, yes.
Yeah, I'm good.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Yeah, you know, it's is it snowing out right now?
It is not.
All right. It was cold this morning. I thought maybe it was snow.
No, no snow. Right. What are you referencing?
No, it's snow.
No, there's no snow. So, hopefully we have a white Christmas. No snow.
Hope everything's great.
Next week, Thanksgiving.
You want Christmas then? You want snow then, too, on Thanksgiving?
I do not, no. Okay. Because I got to drive on Thanksgiving. No snow.
Not me. I got to drive, actually, like a half mile. Well, I do have to drive. It's a half mile. Not even. Like, probably, well, a little more. Probably 3/4 mile.
Well, there you go.
That's the place I'm going.
You can take a bike.
I'm going back. Well done. Yeah, for those listening 5 seconds ago, that was funny. Or maybe some people listen to the whole podcast. They got the humor and the joke, I should say.
Yes, that's true.
Just trying to stall a little bit with you two. Andrew walks in.
Andrew's oh, he just walked What's in. Up, Andrew?
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm always. I should get a clock outside.
Yes.
Alabama doctors still say Tua Tagovailoa will make a full recovery from Saturday's dislocated right hip. A huge step towards that happens today with Tua undergoing surgery in Houston. He was flown there yesterday after school doctors conferred with specialists around the country. No comparison at all, but Bears QB Mitch Trubisky knocked out of Sunday Night Football with his own hip issue when Chase Daniel came in the final minutes of the fourth. We thought Trubisky was just benched. Then head coach Matt Nagy revealed the injury post-game.
We have to see how serious it is, number one. And so we'll do that here when we get back and find out exactly where he's at. But I just appreciate Mitch's his toughness. You know, I mean, you appreciate that. The kid did not want to come out.
Trubisky was 24 for 43 for 190 yards, a touchdown, a pick when he came out. He said he got hurt late in the second quarter. His team lost to the Rams 17-7.
Sorry to interrupt, Andrew. Okay. Did you see that, what I was talking to Moose about? Do you know what I'm talking about, BU?
No.
Not Boston University, on his play card.
Be yourself.
It says there's a bit in big, like, navy blue, to, you know, like a block font.
Yeah.
It says B-E.
Yeah.
U-Y-O-U with an exclamation
point. It's a little motivational nugget on his
for himself. I've seen this
before.
How
about call good plays?
Yeah, exactly. How about go away? How about that? Put that on there. Go away. Hot take.
The 17-7 Rams win drops those Bears to 4-6. The NFC wildcard teams have 8 wins. One of them is the Vikings, who should have lost to the Broncos yesterday.
First and 10 from Denver's 32. Cousins under center, play action. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking to the left. Firing. Caught. Rudolph. 10-5. Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken the lead.
Paul Allen on Vikings radio. Go-ahead point to Kyle Rudolph. Minnesota stunning Denver 27-23. The Broncos led 20-0 at halftime. They're just the 14th team ever to turn that large a halftime lead into a loss. The Patriots snuck out of Philly with a 17-10 win. Same final, the Raiders over the Bengals. That's 3 in a row for Oakland. 0-10 for Cincinnati. The Ravens' win streak is 6 after dismantling the Texans 41-7. Lamar Jackson threw for 4 scores. Deshaun Watson taken down for 6 sacks. The Cowboys won in Dallas 35-27. The Saints won in Tampa Bay 34-17. And the Jets won in Washington 34-17. Sam Darnold, a career high.
Who looked worse in that game?
Touchdown passes.
Your Redskins or the Jets? Like, who actually looked? I know the Jets won the game, but like, who?
The Redskins.
They looked as. I didn't watch much of that game.
Yeah, the Redskins looked awful.
They did, huh?
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Thank you.
LeBron James and the Lakers had no trouble with the Hawks last night. They led by 25 after just 9 minutes, then won 122-101. All with Kobe watching LeBron.
When I signed here, I became part of the family, and he welcomed me here with open arms as well as everyone else. And, you know, just to have that support, you know, from one of the greatest Lakers to ever play, is just special for me.
That's a real love, guys.
A lot of love.
Everybody's the best. Everybody's
great.
Welcome
to Lakerland.
LeBron's the best. He's the best. The voice. Yes. Enough. Sick of it already.
Lakers.
So tired of LeBron.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah. All right.
The Warriors' losing streak hit 7, 108-100 in New Orleans, and Jamal Murray scored 39 in the Nuggets' 131-114 win in Memphis. College hoops, number 18, St. Mary's beat Cal Poly 79-48. On ice, the Blackhawks 4, the Sabres 1, Vegas blanked Calgary 6-love. And Kyle Busch won his second NASCAR season title by winning yesterday's finale at Homestead, Miami.
What's the name of the drink? The little vodka in the can with the fruit drink? It's very popular. Everybody gets them.
Spike Seltzer. Yeah, we talked about it last
week. Yeah, no, we did. What's the name of it? I've drawn a blank on the name.
There's Truly. Yeah. Not there's, Truly.
No, I have a bunch in my house.
White Claw.
Yeah. There's this other one now, High Noon.
Okay.
I've seen the cans of that. Is that seltzer, though, or something else?
It's vodka and soda.
Okay.
So when they say soda, that could be seltzer.
More like club soda?
It says vodka with real fruit juice, sparkling water. No, sparkling water.
Okay.
Seltzer Jones. 100 calories, sun sips. Right here. Moose, nice. This is you. High Noon.
Give me my Jack and Coke. Leave me alone. This.
You're a Jack and Coke guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
I've not tried those.
When do you guys want to try them?
We have the Truly, I think, back at home.
How's Truly?
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, we have the White Claw ones. They're pretty good.
Yeah, we've had those too. Yeah. I mean, it's all the same.
It is all kind of all the same.
I mean, it's not, I mean, there's different fruit varieties, like different flavors, but I mean, it's all
I like dragon fruit, just because it sounds tough.
Nice. Fisher Island spiked lemonade, very good.
Yeah.
That's kind of a Connecticut, Fisher New Island? England thing.
Yeah.
Fisher Island spiked lemonade.
Oh, I know what that is.
It has whiskey and vodka in it.
Yeah, I don't usually do
9.4% alcohol.
Wow.
It's a man's drink.
It's powerful. Strong.
Yeah. Mikey B, don't have that.
It's a strong cocktail.
Yeah.
That is a strong drink.
Andrew, I don't picture you a Jack and Coke guy.
Thank you, but I am.
I picture you a Jack and Coke Zero guy.
No. Full Coke only.
Yeah.
I'll drink Coke Zero by itself, but when I have Jack.
You ever drink Jack by itself? That's a little potent right
there.
Yeah,
a couple.
Yes.
Once a while.
Jack Honey is very good.
Yes. Yeah. The Jack Winter is good, too.
I love the Jack Winter. You ever had it?
No.
You got to do it.
You can warm it up, too.
You warm it up, and you put a little bit of, what do you call it in there? Cinnamon Jones. Cinnamon sticks.
What's Jack Winter?
It's like almost like an apple spice to it.
Oh, okay.
And you could put, like, I think you put
it
like
new?
It's been around a few years.
Yeah. Okay.
Like an apple cider in it.
Oh, okay.
You should get it. It's really
good. Is it really good?
Yeah, it's really good. Like, especially if you live in a, you know, like colder we all climate. Do in a colder climate, it's nice. If you're living in, like, you know, San Antonio, like, it's not, you don't want to have winter Jack. Don't
in Santa
disrespect.
Fe, it doesn't play
well.
Yeah,
it's like, don't work well in Phoenix. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, there it is, Jack Winter.
Yeah, I thought it was Winter Jack. Yeah, I'm
It
I'm
is Winter Jack.
Yeah, you put a little bit of, you put in the cider, a couple of shots. It's not that powerful. It's not that potent. I mean,
there
it's not,
it is. You know. Winter Jack Tennessee Cider.
Yeah, I drink it straight with a cigar. So, in the summer.
You're a man.
Yeah. As hot as can be.
Yeah, you're a man.
In August, I'm drinking
it. Nice.
No max ice. Humidity.
Just right out of the closet.
Give me my Winter Jack.
Yeah, that's it. Just right down the gut.
Just a tough SOB.
Right down the belly.
Smoking a cigar. That's just it. Sitting on the porch, cursing
chewing
everybody
on nails.
Out. Chewing on nails. Now, pack a lip while I'm smoking it.
Right. Chewing on nails, a piece of steel.
Yeah.
Building things.
By Lenny Dykstra?
Right. Like, yeah. That's it. Gnawing on wood, drinking Jack Winter.
It's called whittling, Moose. Except he's whittling.
Nails. Yeah. Right.
Throwing mailboxes down a block.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm the ultimate male.
Wearing my Buffalo Bills slippers in the street.
Right.
Yes, that's it.
Waiting on my spinach and feta and egg wrap to be delivered by a dude on a bike.
That screams tough guy right there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a man, damn it.
You don't have Redskin slippers?
No.
Do you have slippers?
I would not wear Redskin slippers.
You don't have, hey, hot shot. You don't have giant slippers over there? You, Andrew.
I don't have any slippers.
Oh, you're a slipper guy.
I'm a footy Uggs pajamas
slippers.
Guy.
Very Ugg good. Slippers are good. Very I have comfortable. Those. I don't wear them.
Yeah, no. Well, you think I want to represent the Redskins walking around?
You did here.
I had my Sean Taylor jersey and my T-shirt.
And you had a T-shirt.
Dude, you have two pieces of Redskins apparel you wear all the time.
That's what you have. No, one that I wear all the time. The Taylor jersey I bring out. I wear it on SNY on Football Fridays. We do a pick segment. I wore it here when we had video for 2 days.
How many years?
We had video for 2 days? Was I here for those days?
What do you know?
Funny the way you said that.
What do you
it's
know?
It's a good call. You were wearing that jersey.
That was funny. Though, I didn't expect that.
That's what Chernoff said. You shine up nice.
Yeah, when you're wearing a Sean Taylor jersey. Andrew, you can look at that camera all you want. It's still not on.
No, I know. Now I know it's real. For 2 days.
You know, I'm a big NFL team slipper guy. Like, if you're into your team, like, I got Sherpa lining.
It's too hot. Nice. I don't need sweaty feet.
Really?
Sherpa lining. Well, I keep my house cold, dude. We keep our house cold. We'll get inside. We do. Fireplace Jones. We have five fireplaces.
Yeah.
So we have one in the bathroom. We have one in the kitchen. We have two in both master bathrooms.
One in the bathroom.
So, yeah. So anyway.
Who's in charge of getting the bonfire outside going every day?
We have a guy. He used to be a former FDNY guy. No, no.
Right off the DA show?
I handle the bathroom.
My guy. No, Frankie Fire. Frankie Fire. Yeah. And then I got my, I'm going to get my own Uber guy.
You wear more team apparel than anybody I ever know.
I'm a big team sports guy.
You're like a walking billboard for the Buffalo Bills.
I do. Well,
New York's only team.
I get it on the arm. They send it for me.
They do.
But
I
those
understand.
Slippers I bought, I didn't. My wife bought it for me. They didn't send me those.
No, I know. They send you stuff, but you wear it. You wear it proudly.
I am. And
it's almost stunning when you're not in some sort of Bills attire.
I know it is kind of stunning. It is. But I'm. I'm trying to. I've been talking a lot about Uber Eats, Mike, because I'm trying to get different meal things, different diets I'm on. I'm working on different nutritional plans.
Oh, good.
I'm thinking of going to one meal a day. It's a friend of mine, my friend Marty, keeps trying to tell me, one meal Marty. He keeps trying to tell me. That's his gimmick. He's been like that for years. Guy's ripped, got abs. One meal Marty, we call him.
These meals are brought to you by Uber Eats?
Well, he's got a guy who brings them from Nutriwolf.
Nutriwolf.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. That's a true story.
None of these things are real.
No, you Google it. Google Nutriwolf. They're friends of mine. Okay, I'm lying. I got to be... Everything's a joke with me. I'm a big prankster. One meal Marty.
Well, it just happens.
Tell me about Nutriwolf.
The alliteration's uncanny. Your fire guy's named Frank. Nutriwolf. Your one meal guy's named Marty.
Weird coincidences in my life.
There's no guy named One Meal Marty.
I got a guy named One Meal Marty.
There's no guy.
He's been eating one meal for 15 years.
There might be
years.
Something called Nutriwolf, but there's no One Meal Marty.
An actual wolf. It might have to you.
Nutriwolf used to be Muscle Maker. Used to be, not Muscle Maker. They used to have a different name, then they sold it.
The Kingsman's creating a website as we speak.
To prove your story right.
Twitter accounts.
Right.
One meal Marty. Is that two M's?
And he's quoting One Meal Marty. The best meal plan ever. One meal Marty.
One meal Marty.
Long Island, New York.
He's from Levittown. He's got abs. Yeah. Right? He lives right off Hempstead Turnpike in an apartment by Tri-County, by the flea market. You know, right where I'm talking about. And he lives over there. He's ripped. By the flea market.
Yeah, Carney. By the flea market.
He's got abs. So he's like, hey, bro, you got to get on one meal. You got to get a one meal system like me.
Yeah, you should.
And I'm like, he's been telling me this for years. So he gets his stuff from Nutriwolf.
Nice.
It's one big fat-ass meal all day, and you eat nothing else.
Just one meal.
Eat it before 7 p.m.
calories.
Right, before 7 p.m.
Right before bed.
One meal Marty. He also might not be natural. That's the other thing. He lives in the gym. So he works at the gym, and he also works at a pharmaceutical plant as a driver. So he works there, too.
That's funny.
So he might not
be. All one meal Marty, when you see him, we all say hello.
He's all gassed up on. He's all PED'd out. You know, that's the thing. He's not an athlete. He just lives by the flea market up top.
Yeah.
So on Hempstead Turnpike in Levittown. For those fans out in Long Island. So.
Bogus, thank you, brother.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure.
You got it.
I'll tell Marty you said hello, bro.
Yes. Come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Daz of the Moose on this Monday morning. Right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Certainly are. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Sean in Las Vegas. Can the Raiders actually pull off the AFC West? We'll get to your answer in a minute, Sean. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, Taz. Every single day. The Raiders yesterday out at the Black Hole with kind of a ho-hum 17-10 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Not dominant, but a win nonetheless.
Yeah.
As they sit there as a 6-4 football team as we get set through their first 10 games, and they've got 6 games to go. When you take a look at what is left on the Raiders' schedule, at the Jets, very winnable game.
Right.
At the Chiefs,
tough
Titans
game.
Home, mm-hmm. Winnable. Jaguars home. Winnable. At Los Angeles, winnable. At Denver, winnable.
Mm.
You look at 5 of the next 6 games, Raiders could win five in it. I mean,
I think so. Yeah.
I'm not saying that they will, but would it be outlandish for the Raiders to beat the Tennessee Titans
no.
at home?
No.
Would it be
no.
outlandish to think that they could beat the Jaguars? No.
No. The way
I mean, Jacob, Kansas City on the road is going to be a tough one.
Jacob's running the ball really well. Okay, that's going to be tough. He's been great. He's been great on the ground for sure. Carr had a really good day yesterday. I know it's against the 0-10 Bengals. Don't get me wrong, but he was 25 of 29. Over 290 yards, actually 292, one TD, one interception. So, yeah, you know, he's playing really well. The kid Renfro from Clemson, he wasn't the top receiver, but he had a bunch of catches. I think he was 6 of 5 or 6 of 6, whatever he was. He played well. I watched some of the game, and I like him. And Williams had a really good day, too, catching the ball. Look, they're a good team. I mean, they're a good team, and it's hard not to root for them. After the whole charade or dog and pony show that Antonio Brown took them on. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you almost feel like you want to root for them. You know what I mean? And in Hard Knocks, watch them in Hard Knocks. You know, Gruden's a likable guy to me anyway. I think he's a likable guy.
So I agree with you. And, you know, you look at Jacobs, who people roundly criticized for when they drafted him in the first round, Taz. I mean, he's got 923 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yep.
And he's been great this year. He really has been. And we loved him coming out of Alabama. We thought he was going to be a first round draft choice. And he's been the truth for the Oakland Raiders. Like I mentioned earlier, Taz, I think it's great for the. I think it's great for the NFL when the Raiders are good.
I agree.
I do think when they're relevant, it does add something. They're different than any other franchise in the NFL. The fan base, the history, the silver and black, you know, the what they have represented in the past, Al Davis and Taz, they're just a little bit different, which I think is great. And I mean different in a really good way. So I'm happy with the fact that they're 6-4. And, yeah, I think they can win the AFC West. Why can't you? They're sitting right there in first right now. The Chiefs' defense isn't getting any better. You know, Patrick Mahomes is coming off the injury. He's back in the fold, but you mean to tell me, you know, Oakland with what they have left on the schedule, they can. I mean, they should beat the Jets. I mean, they're a better football team than the Jets. They should beat the Jets.
Yeah,
I think they've got. I would not be surprised if they go to 4-2 over the next six games. So that means they're a 10-6 team.
And yeah, no, totally. And if you look at the Chiefs, I mean, you know, looking at that AFC West, you know, they got to play tonight against the Chargers, which is, you know, in Los Angeles. That's not going to be easy.
In Mexico.
Yeah. No, it's not that far.
No, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I made that mistake. Yes, in Mexico.
Everybody just screamed in my head, said 10 different people, said Mexico, people.
No, it's just a slip. It's not a big deal, but they're going to be playing in the altitude. Mistakes.
I want to apologize.
Yeah.
Please take that out of the podcast, Mike. Let's fix that.
Yes.
Then they're on a bye week. Then they got to deal with the Raiders. So, and then, meaning the Chiefs. Then they got to play the Pats in New England. So, you know, they got a little bit tougher road to go here than the Raiders, I think. Right? The Chiefs, I'm saying.
I would agree, yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
The Bears, they got to play after the Broncos. So, I mean, you know, it's a little tough goings.
It'll be interesting to see. And it's good for Gruden and for Gruden and an entire program out there in Oakland, getting them going and moving forward. All right, let's get to it. Here we go, the undercard.
Tonight's game's in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Let's go.
All righty. The Minnesota Vikings trailed the Denver Broncos 20-0 at the half yesterday. Went on for the comeback win 27-23. Minnesota now 8-3 on the season. They're also perfect 5-0 at home. Would you consider the Minnesota Vikings a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah.
I like them. I don't know about a Super Bowl contender, though. I'm surprised you're agreeing with that you would feel that way, Moose, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it's I think they deserve that kind of love. Would I make them the favorite? No. Do I think there's tiers to being a Super Bowl contender? Yeah, I think there's tiers to it. I've been really impressed with Cousins over the last 4 or 5 games, Taz. He's cut down on the turnovers, not fumbling the football. He's doing a lot of it without Adam Thielen, who's been out with that hamstring injury. Diggs has been an absolute stud. Irv Smith Jr., the young tight end, they're working into the fold as well. I mean, there's a lot to like with the way that Kirk Cousins is playing right now. So, do I think they're as good? Would I say I trust the Vikings as much as, say, the Niners, the Saints, or the Packers? Probably not, but I would not be stunned if you told me the Minnesota Vikings were in Miami for the Super Bowl in February. Would I be stunned? I would not be stunned.
I'd be slightly stunned.
You
because,
would?
Well, because if you watch the first half of that game, they suck. I mean, they did not show up, and they were home. They played really bad. I mean, really bad. It was 20-0 at halftime. They didn't play well. They didn't play well at all in every facet of the game. I understand you play four quarters. I get it. I understand that. They showed up in the fourth quarter and scored 20 points in previous third quarter, scored 7 points. But my point is, I think the really, really strong teams, the ones that are going to go potentially to the Super Bowl, they're not making that kind of a first half blunder. You know, they're not. I mean, I don't think the Ravens have done that this year. I don't think the Pats have done that this year.
Well, if you look at the NFC, 49ers were down 16-0 yesterday at Arizona.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but they didn't play as bad as the Vikings played in the first half of
okay.
this game. That's
all right.
what I'm saying.
All right.
The they played bad, man.
No, I get it. I understand they played bad. Now, it's to their credit, they were able to rally.
Well, they won the game, right.
And
right.
when they got going, they steamrolled Denver.
They sure did.
They sure steamrolled did. Them. Yeah. Denver couldn't do anything. And then held on for dear life at the end with a nice defensive stand late in order to hold the Broncos out of the end zone.
So Fangio and his defense, the Broncos, they couldn't stop Diggs. They couldn't figure it out.
No.
And Rudolph, too, but they couldn't stop Diggs worth of nothing.
No, they were great. And Rudolph was blown coverage. I mean, he was wide open.
Was wide
you and
open.
I could make that
I know,
throw.
I mean,
there was nobody within 10 yards of him.
Yeah.
It was crazy how wide open he was.
Great.
So there you have it. I get, you know, Minnesota, for Taz's angle, needs to show a little bit more.
Well,
and certainly, I think they go into the bye week feeling good on what could have been a disastrous loss.
Just in closing on this topic, I mean, if you look at the time possession itself, I mean, you got a 3-6 at the time, a 3-6, now 3-7 Bronco team. You know, they dominated time possession in this game against the Vikings. So to me, that's not a Super Bowl contending team. I'm sorry. And I got news for you. Newsflash. Neither are my Bills, unfortunately.
No, they're probably not either.
Oh, and that's what I'm annoyed about.
Well, next, at least they're winning.
Yeah.
And Dude, everybody and their mother was telling me they love the Dolphins yesterday. I was like, be careful.
You gotta be crazy.
I was
Who
all
said
over.
That to you? Really?
Yeah, plus the points to keep the game
what
close.
What was the points?
6.5. I was all over the Bills yesterday. I
love
felt
the
good.
Bills. There you go.
Yes. All right, next.
Godspeed.
As Moose just referenced, the Cardinals had a 16-0 lead against the 49ers. San Francisco came back to win 36-26. Arizona, 3-7-1 on the season, but very competitive yesterday with the 49ers. The Cliff Kingsbury-Kyler-Murray combo, how would you grade it out so far this year?
I like it. I think it's evolved. I like it. I mean, I understand he had 150 yards throwing yesterday. He was 24-33. Look at this idiot. Anyway, this is something on TV, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to know about it. But anyway, he's a try-hard jabroni. And I'm not talking about Michael Pete.
What is that outfit?
One second. Just, whatever. So I can't look at anybody on TV right now, so I hate all of them. So anyway, I like Kyler Murray. I like what Kingsbury's doing with the offense. At first, I didn't. I thought it was a whole big, you know, hey, we got this whole new offense. We're holding back. This kid's tough to stop. This kid does some really interesting stuff, Kyler Murray.
You know who loves Kyler Murray? Your guy, Romo.
Romo does love Kyler Murray. Yes.
Romo said, wait till this guy figures it out.
Yeah.
He is going to be special. And I don't disagree. I think it's been good. I think those that were rooting for Kingsbury to be a disaster, he's not.
I know. I'm surprised.
And he's not in Arizona. And Kyler Murray, I think that's going to be an interesting combination. Once they start to get a little bit better defensively, once they start to kind of get that program up and running, Taz, with another year under their belt, when Murray has got this year in his rearview mirror, I'm really excited. I'm not even a Cardinal fan to see exactly what that offense will look like.
Yeah, they're working the football around him, around his height disadvantage, and they're using it. They're using his legs and his athleticism, his vision. Because when he throws it, he can throw it. That kid can throw the rock,
man.
He's got
an arm. He
throws the ball well.
How about that though? Imagine if you had yesterday the Arizona Cardinals plus 10, and you're leading that game late. Niners score a touchdown, right? To go up 4, and then you fumble trying to do the flea flicker. They pick it up, score. No extra point there, and that game ends up being a push. I mean, you want to talk about for a better out there. If you had Arizona plus the 10, and you ended up that game pushing, a game that you had a lead with 90 seconds to go,
yeah.
You end up pushing the game, that is awful.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, for those that are into sports betting.
Yeah. Tough loss.
Absolutely.
Or a tough push.
Great job.
Mike Pete.
Good seeing you.
Taz, fantastic work.
Thank you.
Great work all morning long. Bogus with the updates. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Till tomorrow. Peace. No.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.